Welcome to the Dark Web Vlogs podcast. Thanks for stopping by and thank you for listening. This episode is today's vampire, the awakening, and the modern day twilight. Today's vampires are very different from those of old, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. Okay, let's get started. Hi. And welcome to the Dark Web Vlogs, where I'm sharing the experiences I've had working with clients on some of the most outrageous deals being run over the dark web. As you know, requests come to me over the dark web. I have a very secure system that is private, and what is sent is private only to me and the requester until if and when it turns into an active case is a result of this system. It gives people the confidence to come to me with jobs that are less than common. With this request, it was who they were, what they were a part of, that they didn't feel like going to just anyone for assistance. And in this case, their involvement in who they were, vampires. They call me the Ghost. I'm ex-CIA and now a dark operative on the dark web. I've worked a lot of jobs, and this is my account of one group of people that isn't too hard to believe is out there, and then another group that's a little harder to believe. And even if you could, you really wouldn't want to. Take a listen and enjoy. It was a Saturday night, and I'll never forget that it was exactly midnight when this request came in. I was sitting at the warehouse. It's quiet. Jagger and I are the only ones left there. We're sitting there after catching up on working on one of our post-job entries, and we didn't even notice the time because we got done with what we were doing, and then we were all into flipping through other older jobs and reminiscing a bit. But sure enough, there we were, and there it was, the sound of a new request. Now realizing it was exactly midnight, we decided to go for it and open it together. The requester was a woman, who I'm referring to as Rue, and she states that she's a part of a private community and that they need help. Another member of her group, who she's very close to, got my contact information from someone that he used to work with. And honestly, I'm starting to think, you know, is this a group? Is it a cult? But it wasn't, and that becomes clear as Jagger and I read on. Rue continues and explains that although she had made a choice, a commitment, the life of a modern-day vampire had gotten complicated. Well, this gets Jagger and I's attention, right? I know these groups of vampires can be pretty complicated. I know this already. I've experienced working with them, and it's always unique. And you may or may not be familiar with the world of vampires. Not sure how familiar any of you are, but there's a lot more to that than the classic character that we usually see and hear about. Like the bat vampire. They can shapeshift. They cannot endure sunlight. They blend well when around others, but they have some features that to us are familiar when thinking about vampires. A longer face, pointed ears, things of that nature. You have the counts. These would be what people consider maybe noble. You know, they dress nice. They have retractable canines, and they're the ones that people almost want to admire. They make the image of vampires cool. Some, though, are deformed. Some are reptilian or lizard-like. Then there are the mortal vampires who feed off blood, but their sources are typically donors or blood banks. Then you have the psychic vampires. Either intentional or not, these vampires will feed off of you, but they will not be taking blood. They will just take your energy. You have the empathic ones, the sexual ones, even the soul vampire. And make note, I mean today, you can be whatever kind of vampire you want. That's important. Really, vampire is a word. You can choose to be like one or not. That's important. Some need and want blood. Some do not. You might have heard of the sanguines. That's a pretty common term these days. As for Rue, and she only touched on this a little bit in the request, but she does partake in consuming human or animal blood if she has to. She tells me that the vampire thing was part of her family history. She believes that. She's always felt drawn to it. It's what actually led her down the psychology path, which was her career for a while. She wanted to understand what made people tick, go one way or the other. For her, she'd seen and learned about her own family history of how people in deep in a lifestyle or a way to be was dying, still fought to keep it alive. The mind, the perseverance was amazing, and it was the power of the individual that motivated her. And ultimately, all that education and career building that she did led her right back to her roots. She's accepted her vampirism, gave up everything else, and is all in. That's what she says. But now her and her group have a problem. They need help stopping an invasion of sorts, and people's lives were at risk. She asks if I'd be willing to meet her and her friend, Ash, to go over the situation. Can't turn down that. I mean, it sounds interesting. Vampires always interest me. At least this first meet, because vampire jobs and issues are usually something for real, because you wouldn't make that up, and worth doing. Jagger and I fill in the rest of the team in the morning, and then we take off for this meeting. And lucky for us, they are in the United States. They flew here, just crossing their fingers that I would meet with them, and they didn't want to meet in their location, not yet anyway, until we listened to what they had to say. They have come all the way from Scotland. But they have it all set up for us. They chose Kansas City, enough people where no one would stand out, enough places available for us to meet. The coffee shop is in town, but out of the way. We follow their directions, and when we get to where we find them, there's a room off to the side in this coffee shop. Looks like a room that's maybe used for people that meet, business people. But right now, it's reserved for us. We walk in and they get up. They both have dark hair. They're taller. They're lean. And you really notice their eyes. I know they're practicing vampires, and I'd say upon meeting them that their look really does fit that. There might be something to that. You have to wonder. They're both dressed in all black, and they both have their nails painted black. They're proper in their introductions, and they're nice. Right after we get there, there's a knock at the door, and there's a woman with four fancy coffees in the glass, and she gives those to us. We all settle in, and when it's just the four of us again, Rue starts getting into things. She wants to be clear that they are the real deal. They're not lifestylers or fashion vamps. They don't just like the sound of it or the look of vampires. They both tell us they are true vampires and need to actually feed and drink the blood of others to get what they need. Then she stops talking for a moment and starts tapping her long black fingernail on her glass. It gives me a second to check her out a little bit more. Her skin is like porcelain. Her hair is long and black with red tones. And just her look and the way she's talking with her soft, slightly raspy voice, you get the sense that she is a graceful person. Ash is too. He hasn't really said much yet, but it's almost like they're moving together. Slow, smooth, and I almost want to say mesmerizing. But then I remember what they are, and I start to wonder when the next feeding time is exactly. You know, hopefully it's not soon. We're just getting to know these guys, and we still have a lot to figure out. Ash pipes in, and he says that their group and many others like theirs have worked hard over a number of years to try to find ways to continue. Things have changed. Their kind purposely changed things so that they could continue to survive. And they hope that one day they can even be accepted. Vampires have been known to be the ones who take, right? They take without asking. Back in the day, people were dying. They were being taken from the lives they knew and being converted. That's how it worked. But that couldn't last, not really. So there had to be another way. Ash tells us that yes, they feed off the blood of others, humans preferably, animals if they have to, but now they found new ways to do all of this. They don't need to take people out and be feared. They just want to exist, and they don't need to exist forever. Over time, a system has been worked out, and they now have donors, people who are willing to donate their blood for the needs of others. Sanguinarians, those who drink blood, rely on those donors. And he's glad things have changed. If they were still taking everyone down like in the old days, who knows what the world would look like today? It was a good system and it was working. Rue decides then to jump right in back into the conversation and explains that the satisfaction is felt on both sides, that the donors enter into an agreement with their vampires. And the vampires are the one in charge, of course, but the donors like it that way. They prefer to be more on the submissive side. In her soft and calming voice, she shares with us how the donors feel almost a high, like they're floating after they give. They feel connected to the ones feeding, and for them, it's a pleasurable experience to watch what giving their blood does to those that need it. And Jagger and I are listening, and to us, you know, although it's not our way of life, it sounds like they do have it all figured out, really. I mean, it sounds like a well-oiled machine, where everything is working and everyone is happy. And I tell them that, and then I ask, you know, what exactly is messing with you then? What's going on? Ash brings up the point of how things always seem to get messed up. You know how it is. Something's good, and then something has to mess it up. And he says that their group has been infected. He gets very serious, and he lowers his voice as if he's almost afraid someone will hear what he's saying. He says that he's explaining this new way of being a vampire is great and everything, and it's the life he's chosen, but there's more to it all, a darker side. Even though so many of them have changed over time, tried to make things different so that they could keep going, there have been and are the others. There are still in existence the vampires of old, those that are still sinking their teeth into innocent victims and going about their way, as they have for hundreds of years. Ash explains how much this has complicated things. These guys are not into change, and they care nothing about modern times or anything to do with keeping the peace. And at the end of the day, they don't appreciate the newly improved vampires. To them, this updated process cheapens their brand, if you will, or takes away their power or presence. To them, having donors trying to be accepted is not how vampires work. That's not who they are. They are against it. All of it. Both Ash and Rue explain how this group of old schoolers are now on a mission to stop what they see as a movement of vampire impersonators, which is not what they're trying to be, but for the old schoolers, they have, you know, they've had about as much as they can take. They see the people that, you know, like to dress like vampires, that admire the vampire way of being, that dress goth and think that somehow that makes them just like who they are. They see the psychic vampires as nothing more than energy-draining misfits of society that are their own breed and don't belong anywhere near the vampire world, nor do they have any rights to call themselves such. When I hear this kind of thing, it reminds me of so many other things, but in times like this, I try to play devil's advocate, if for no other reason than to try to understand where the opposition is coming from. What are they thinking? What do they ultimately want? And the why. Why are they angry? Why are they fighting? Things like that. It really does help your approach to know these things. And with this, I really do want to understand. And know that to understand with what I'm saying is a little different than empathize. I need to understand. Although I will say that let's pretend we are not dealing with blood-sucking, scary vampires. We have a group, and I'll just call them people, who existed throughout our history. They have made a mark. They hold a place. They're a group full of mystery, and we are intrigued by them, we have to admit. If you believe they're real, then you'd have to know that they've had their own way of doing things, which is pretty much why we remember them, right? But over time, things change. And there are a lot of things that have changed over time. We've become more efficient at certain things. We've worked to improve other things. But not everyone loves change or progression. They would prefer things stayed the way they were. There are people that long for the simple life, you know, like things used to be. They'll say that the young people of today don't get it and don't care. The new technologies and things that make our lives easier have actually ruined people. They just aren't into it. If we all went back to the days of Little House on the Prairie, maybe it would do us some good. That's what some believe. Same theory here, though. You get the point. We have a group that takes pride in their history and does not want to accept the new changes, things that would change who they are known as. Even if you are not a fan of vampires, this is all stuff that needs to be considered, like I said, in order to understand where they are coming from. And we do need to understand all of that, facing these guys. You know, we're up against a very strong and intense group. And to be clear, this job, this request, is not to take out the population of traditional vampires. That's nearly impossible. Anyway, our sangs are not violent. They are not what we typically think of when we think of vampires. They are different. This request is to help remove their problem, stop a war from a total breakout. What the traditional vampires have been doing so far is not good as far as the signs of things to come to these guys. They're biting donors, they're infecting them and converting them. You know, to them, if you say you're a vampire, then you might as well be one. For Rue and Ash and their people, they don't have a way to fight back, and they feel that they will be overrun. And once the core communities have been taken over, then these guys will come for the rest of those whom they believe are faking it. The vampires that live by you and me, and you might work with them, you know, they're computer programmers, lawyers, you name it, you never know. So yes, we learn that this group, Rue and Ash's group, do have a system. They have something that works, but it's falling apart in brutal fashion. It's time to make a choice. Take this job or leave it alone. I mean, you know, that's what I'm thinking. And I mean, I can't leave it be. And Jaeger's with me, and he doesn't want to let it be either. But this is one of those jobs that is not a quick fix. This is a serious situation that could get very out of control. And if there's anything we can do to help, we kind of owe it to our whole existence to try. That's just how I am, and that's how my team is. And since I got on the topic of jobs that, you know, were tough or didn't work out when I did the comments vlog, I thought this job was appropriate because this was an unknown. I wanted this job. I know plenty of people that would think this is probably not as serious as these two people think it is, but I also know vampires and I know better. However, I needed Rue and Ash to know that I could not know exactly what I would do about this until I got there. Putting yourself up against real and true vampires is very dangerous. And being converted to a vampire is not a personal goal of mine at all. So I'll do what I can, but I really need to see what we're up against. I consult with Jaeger one last time, and we agree that we want to try, and that the rest of the team will feel the same. And with that, we start making the plans to head to Scotland. We have not done the research on these two yet, and they know that I will need to do that before I can actually travel or start anything. But if you saw these guys and spent time with them, you would know that they really were what they said they were, but we still need to check. So Jaeger and I make our way back and meet up with the crew. They've been eagerly awaiting for us to get back to them and fill them in about what we found out. And we do that, and they are just amazed. This is a major conflict that is starting, and it's between two completely different worlds. We are from this world, meaning the world of today, this time. They, however, are from all times, from their beginning until now, years and years and years. With time comes knowledge, and they will have that wisdom. They will be smart, and they have powers that we may not be able to compete with, and we need to be ready. Harley starts her digging and checking on Ash and Rue, and, you know, because we have to, and to check out the group that they claim to be a part of. There are a lot of groups out there claiming to be vampires. So who were these guys? Well, Harley confirms that Rue's group is definitely something, and they had a pretty good group going. They were extremely organized, well-known in the vampire world. But they weren't for everyone. Like all groups, you need to be a good fit for this particular one. They had their rules, their ways of doing things, traditions, and beliefs. I'll refer to her group for this as the modern, since there are modern-day vampires. And then since they're dealing with the vampires of old, we'll call them the traditionals. Should keep things simple. We're for sure taking this trip. And after meeting with my team, we all decide that Frankie, Jaeger, Scarlett, and I will go. Frankie and I had pulled together different things for this journey. And so it's not long before we're on our way. We fly to Edinburgh and rent a vehicle to go the rest of the way. And when we get to where we're going, it's incredible. I mean, really, that's the only word I can use here. Picture the perfect old castle and land in a perfectly misty Scotland. The outer areas covered in green grass and lined with large rock ridges. That's where we were. It would have been a great place for a drone shot, but we're not really on vacation. We drove up to this place, and they knew we were coming, and they were ready for us. We're all greeted by the both of them. Ash comes out and gets our bags, and then we all go inside. There are stone floors and black rugs. It's really decorated for the vampire life. They have oil lamps on the walls, which are also lined with pictures of the people they admire. You know, the Highgate vampire from London, the vampire Grando from Croatia, vampires of New England. They had it all. Some they had to explain to me, but it was nice to know that they were trying to be respectful of the real guys, the traditionals. This could help us later. Rue explains that there are rooms upstairs for anyone that is staying there, and then down in the basement, that's where they have meetings. And there are actually people down there meeting at the moment when we get there. But it actually makes it perfect for us to be able to talk and without any of them around. They take us back to the large dining room. There are chairs lining this very beautiful mahogany dining table. Ash takes a seat at one of the end chairs, and those are lined with red velvet. The other chairs along the sides, they're wood, but they have some padding, but it's not quite as fancy. Anyway, we join him, and he has some pictures in a pile there. He starts to spread them out, and when he has five in a line, he explains to us that the five people in the photos were victims. They were donors. That's how it all started. It would appear they were taking out donors one at a time, these real vampires, taking their lives as they knew them and converting them, infecting them so that they would become real vampires. These five victims were people that wanted to be involved. They were taking pleasure in the lives they were helping to these modern day vampires. It made them feel good. These are people that didn't want the vampire life per se, but they were happy to be on the sidelines of it all. Now though, they were vampires themselves, the real deal, and stuck forever. This was a punishment in their eyes. If you want to be part of the vampire life, then go all the way. Don't just sit there and try to pretend you're a part of something that isn't real. Ash explained how that these pretend vampires that they were being considered as aren't really going to get too far if they don't have donors. And if they need and want blood so bad, the real vampires thought they should do it the right way. And these guys were pretty vicious, apparently. Came in like crazy men and took over the room and the people. And you know, vampires are very particular. They have their ways and how they like to do things. And they've had quite a lot of years to get to that point. I mean, if I had 200 to 500 years to figure out what I preferred, I'm sure I'd be particular at that point too. Then Ash breaks out a few more photos, and those are very old. They're pictures of some vampires of legend before they actually became immortal and bloodthirsty. He lays three of them out and says that those are the ones to look out for, the ones targeting their group. There are more of them, of course, but these are the ones that have already come and who seem to be in control of what's going on. They have invaded their space as the representatives for their vampire army. So we're learning about the invasions, but then we also want to learn a little bit about their lives. They tell us how each member of their group has given up their old lives. They don't go halfway. They donate all the money that they have and built up. And that does remind me sort of a cult, but then they invest the money in their company, which is them. And when they don't need much and they can live the high life, they just keep going. Our initial meeting there goes pretty fast, actually. And before we know it, the group downstairs is done with their own meeting. They all start to come up, and Rue takes the four of us upstairs to our rooms. The place is giant. I mean, all of our rooms have these big antique beds. It was pretty awesome. And then we're welcomed by the main 12. And they are the core group, and they hosted dinner for us in the main dining room that we were in before. It was a feast, and it was great. And we all enjoy it, but at the same time, for me, I'm taking it all in. I mean, I need to. Yes, these vampires are different, but I will say this, the way they chose to live, I felt really was an honor of what they had, you know, had come before them. They did not live with all the modern day means and comforts, or should I say conveniences. They had super nice stuff, but it was all of old times, and they lived that way all of the time. And that really did impress me. And I mean, I have to say, seeing Frankie hold up this old chalice at dinner was something. I actually wish I had a picture of it. I mean, there's a little humor in all things that we do, maybe not every second of every day, but there's enough room for it a lot of the time. And we as a group hold on to our sanity with some of that because the stuff is nuts. But okay, we get through dinner, which was great, like I said. And then Ash tells us that the night's not over yet. We're about to head out to where the others, the traditionals, are. So they are really getting right into it here, but I can see why. I mean, the traditionals don't know we're there and getting shown around the place. There's no special event for them going on, and they don't care, and they could show up back where we are at the castle to raise havoc any time they want to. So the four of us go. Again, I'm there, Scarlet, Frankie, and Jagger. Rue goes, Ash goes, and one of the main 12 we had dinner with goes. Although Rue and Ash were the ones that contacted us, it seems this guy, who I'll call Benton, is in charge of quite a bit, or at least it's pretty obvious that he keeps things organized and keeps an eye on things. We head out in these old black Studebakers. They're nice, but like everything else, they're old school. We go down the main road and then turn off onto this white gravel road, and we drive this until it is pitch black out, late, just the moon above. We eventually turn off of that and drive onto grass, or it's part weeds, hard to tell. And we go for a while more until we come up over this hill and we start to see exactly where they have brought us. We don't drive up and see another giant castle or even a building of any kind. Instead, we see this big rock wall on the side of a cliff. We park a ways out and then we go on foot. Rue tells us that they have scoped out the place before and it seems to be quiet at night. As she says, they're probably out at the time of their hunt. They still could be there, though, so there's no guarantee, and we need to be careful. The closer you get to this place, you really see the massiveness of it. And I mean, it's giant. The opening to this place is lined with more grass and rocks, but literally, it looked like a mouth into the underground. It was huge. Mind you, it was in the middle of nowhere, really off the beaten path, but still. And Benton had brought these 10 bodysuits, which there were 8 of us. But he was explaining how, and I knew this, how vampires can smell humans. They can smell our blood, if we've been drinking, things like that. There are giveaways, and the longer a vampire's been around, the better they are at it. And these guys have been around for a while. Benton tells us that before we actually walk into this place, we need to put them on. And these suits were not plastic, but they sort of felt like plastic, but they were a bit thicker. And Benton told us they were a type of rubber. They were all sealed. They were black, we assumed, for sneaking around. And they were a bit awkward, to be honest with you, because they were one size fit all, basically. They sort of felt too big, except for Frankie. Frankie actually fit into his, which was actually kind of funny to see. Again, it was hilarious. But the plastic see-through masks, they weren't very fun for anyone, even Frankie. But you could see, and so it was good enough. And we only needed him for a short bit. Benton goes into this cave first, checks it out. He's only gone a few minutes before he comes back, and then the coast looks clear from what he can tell. And we all follow him in there. We get into this place, and it wasn't like anywhere I'd ever been before. There were jars on the walls with candles in them. It's all stone, just like on the outside, at least at first. But then we see that the inside of this place is this temple-like structure. Immediately, Scarlet, who, if you remember, is the historian and archaeologist of my group, says it reminds her of the Ellora Caves, home to the Kalasa Temple, cut into the rocks just like this one. It's just one of many that's there, but it was beautiful, and she says it reminds her just of it. It went deep into the ground, and it was tall. I mean, you had to go down, but it was tall. Stone and carvings, the candles. And I remember those steps. I remember them because they were wide. You know how steps are all one size? Well, these were extra large, so you'd need more than one step to get down a step. But we went around them because we couldn't just march down them and make our way into wherever it is we were going. We slipped off to the side and we sort of walked down the sides of them. I mean, it was all a cave, so there were a lot of areas you could sneak around in and duck behind. We didn't really need to be there, but what they wanted to show us was where these guys were coming from. We didn't really think any would happen here right then. We did want to know what they were trying to protect, what they felt they were holding on to, and this definitely made the point. This place was old. We get down and around the stairs, and we see a larger room. Benton lets us know that this still isn't really all the way inside, but you get the point. There are old coffins to the side behind these big glass windows. Nobody goes in there anymore, he said. But you definitely felt the heavy level of respect for it. You knew whatever was in that place behind those glass walls, which I could only imagine was something very important. We passed through that area, which felt a little bit like a museum, actually, and we ducked into this area off to the right. It was this dark hallway. There were no candles, no light, but we all lined up one after the other, each one holding onto the back of the one in front of us, and we followed Benton's lead. We were heading into an area where he told us there were stone tables and what they called areas of different types of rituals and things, and he wanted us to see how seriously into the past they are. You know, get a sense of it all. How to deal with these guys really is to step back in time with them. But we never made it that far. Really, not far enough in to notice all that was going on. We never saw the stone tables, and we didn't see any of that. But I can tell you that we got a dose of history we did not need that night. We walked out from that tunnel and into the next room or area, and it was dark. But there were very large candles and things that lit it a little. Definitely gave it an ambiance. Just when we got into that part, but before we could really look around, we see these shadowy figures literally fly above us. We're very aware of where we are, and we're hoping that the coast is clear, but we know that it might not be. So we're aware that something's going on. We freeze. And we can't see all that well. I mean, these candles, you know, aren't really giving all that much light. You know, they're not the LEDs we're all used to, but we're looking around us and nobody sees anything. We start taking steps, you know, to the left and the right and turning around, and we're trying to see where these things are at. What are they? We know that they are most likely the residents of this place. We know they are probably the vampires that live there. We don't even need to say it to each other. We're all silent and we're all looking around. And then they come at us. And yes, I've dealt with vampires before, but you've not heard any of those stories. So I'm going to tell you all of this and just explain it. They're not wearing black suits with white shirts and capes, chalk skin, and red lips. I mean, I think if I were to compare what they are to something that you might relate to, that might be the Count. Although the Count is always wearing black and white in our image, right? But that's not what I mean. I am referring to the Count because of how their image is, how they are noble and they're respectable. They're beautiful. Their skin is perfect. If you saw one, you'd be mesmerized for a bit, like I said earlier. When they look at you, you are locked in. Their hair is perfect. Their teeth are perfect. And yes, their fangs do come out, but if they don't need to feed, you might not notice them at all. Everything about them becomes more intense when they are intense. Their eyes get brighter. Their teeth seem to get whiter. All that fun stuff. Well, I turn around and all of a sudden I've got one of them in my face. Literally, I turned around to check what was going on above me or around me, and it swooped in so fast. I wasn't really ready. I didn't think they could approach like that, but they did. There were four of them, not three, and they sort of surrounded us. I was on the edge. Frankie was on the edge, and so was Benton. You know, my team was trying to sort of surround and protect Rue and Ash, but we just got moved in on. Well, my guy swoops in and stares at me. I mean, he literally puts his eyes on mine, and we were there for a few seconds for sure, just looking at each other. And it's dark, but his eyes are piercing. Then I look over and I see Frankie, and he's got his own guy, and they're sort of walking around each other. It kind of reminded me of the movie Gladiator or something. I turn the other way. I see Benton. He dropped down to one knee and is just on the ground with his head facing down. Well, he must know something I don't, is what I'm thinking. There's no stopping Frankie, even though he and I both know that vampires are vampires. There's not much that you're going to do. But apparently these guys are going head to head. I, on the other hand, have something happening with my guy. He knows something. He tilts his head. He's looking at me. I felt it inside that he knew. He just knew that I was somehow a leader or something like that. He put his hands on my throat and lifted me up and went up with me. He floated up as we went. He didn't want to take me out, though, because he shifted. He moved from just lifting me into the air to moving me more to the center of the room. And I have to say, I started to panic just a little bit right then. Not a total panic, but enough, believe me. An electric shock ran through me. I had no idea how mad these guys were or what was going on. They knew we were there with their apparent enemy, so I'm thinking that they have to know something's going on. They know we're there to help, and now we've just invaded their cave. Frankie and his guy, still going at it. I notice there's a guy tormenting Scarlet, and Jaeger is in some kind of crazy stare down. It's a little bit strange because I don't think they know what to do with us. We're not there to take them out. We aren't really a threat to them, and they know that. Benton's still on the ground, and Rue and Ash are off to the side. The way I figure it is that these guys already know who they are, and they're more interested in what we're doing there. My guy all of a sudden pushes me backwards. I almost feel like I'm going to fall into infinity, but he keeps pushing me, and I realize that we're going down hallways and things. We're moving through the air, and we're moving extremely fast. Then we get to a room where there's a small table and a black cloth on it. He drops me on one side and he lowers himself to the other side. In between is a chalice, like I saw at Rue and Ash's castle. What someone might think looks like red wine, I know what it really is. It's blood. And he nods at it as if he wants me to take it, but I shake my head no. I won't be needing any of that. He reaches out with his long white hand and fingers and slowly taps the end of his chalice. Then he lifts it up and puts it to his mouth and takes a long drink of this thick blood. He knows why I'm there. That becomes very clear. He tells me that this is not a fight that can be won. He tells me that if not this group, there are many. And I haven't said anything yet, but I do look up to him and I tell him that we come in peace, that if vampires do want to survive, that they're going to have to let the future play out, and the future's now. There's nothing anyone can do. We can't kill all the vampires that have been around for hundreds of years, but they cannot stop anyone from admiring them. There is a respect for vampires. There's also a fear. I play up to this, though, the respect, and tell him that because he is respected, that is why we're here, and that's why we will not become who he is. It's not really too fake what they think he is, but that it's more out of human respect and fear that they do what they do. He sets down his chalice, and I see some of the red blood dripping from his lips. He wipes it and then licks his long finger. And then he actually asks me why he should listen to anything that I'm saying. He wants to know why he should let this group go on doing anything they're doing. And I tell him that I know there's no way we can fight him. Clearly, there's nothing anyone can do against a vampire. They have complete control. I do tell him, though, that it's out of respect that I came to him now. That I'm here because I respect what they are. And I don't have all the hours in the day right now to explain to you everything that happened in this meeting. We were there for a while. It was very difficult. He toyed with me, tried to tempt me. He even pushed me back and threatened to bite me himself. I can tell you, that, like I said, if I were to become a vampire, I would not be pleased. Eventually, though, we do go back to the main room and we find that everyone is in pretty much the exact same place when we left, which is a little surprising. And by the way, and I'm skipping a little ahead here, the guy that I've been talking to, his real name was Titus. And I never do that, but in this story, he flat out told me he doesn't care. And I never do that, but he wanted anyone that heard this story to know who he was. He wanted to be known. Not that it would really matter, because there's nothing you would probably be able to do to find him or do anything about him. But he wanted his real name out there, should I tell this story, as a reminder to what history is. There are many that came before us, and he wants to be one of those that we remember. So he was starting to see us as a vessel, a communicator. What amazed me most is that he did not get violent with me, because I've dealt with that. I mean, it did get a little bit, but not like you would think. Vampires, they're too narcissistic. They really care about themselves. They want to be left alone. They want to win you over. And of course, they live on. I know when I brought up the idea of vampires, people might have thought that this would be a stabbing with a wooden stake or a shooting with a silver bullet. But always remember how proper vampires are. They aren't really going to go down that way. That's really for the movies. I don't care how great my team and I are, a vampire is not going to go down easily. When we got back to the other area, everyone seemed to stop moving except for Frankie and his guy. You know, vampires don't really have feelings. They just have desires. And for some reason, this one guy had a desire to get Frankie, but Titus ended up backing him off. What we left with that day was an agreement, at least for this group. Rue and Ash had to actually sign this agreement and stamp it with their own blood that they had to drip from their own sliced hand. The agreement was that they would no longer call themselves vampires. And this was a hard pill to swallow since they've only known and admired these vampires for so long. That's what they wanted to be. I personally think the vampires were actually amused. Titus was so in control, it was intimidating. This was not a job to mess with. There was no way to win. The fact that we could come to any agreement at all was incredible to me, pretty much. Either way, like vampires do, they won. I cannot control what Titus and his group does with other groups that walk around impersonating them as they think it is. But if this group was to continue, the vampires had them and they could no longer call themselves vampires. Now, I can't tell you what their new name is, because that'd be their identity, you know, because you'd have to be in their circle to get to know them. They're not going to have a website. They're not going to project themselves to the world. They truly believe that they need blood and that this is something that is a part of their lives. If you think about it, why can't we be like other people, but maybe not be them completely? There are different breeds to who we are, and this may be one breed of the vampire. Once Frankie and his buddy finally let go of each other, we all had made our way back to the castle, and they called a meeting in the basement, and we were invited. They let everyone know what was going on, and it was really everyone's individual choice if they felt like they were just feeling good because they wanted to call themselves vampires, or if they actually felt like they were doing what they had to. I know for Rue and Ash, they were doing what they felt they had to. It was their calling. We didn't get but 45 minutes into that meeting before Titus showed back up, blasted right down into that basement and hovered over the meeting. He flashed a very evil smile and gave us more of those echoing laughs. Sure, we avoided a war, but I can tell you at that moment, your heart could not be beating any faster. You're dealing with real evil here, and maybe evil that, I don't know, evil's probably not really the word. You were dealing with something very real, something bigger than you, another existence, something that was not your own, that would not put up with you getting in its way. Try to, right now, picture having shivers in your bones, because that's the only way to actually get this story over to you. It's not a description, it's a feeling of what it was, a job that could have gone terribly. The thing was, if they want to exist, they need to let us exist, though. I can't stop what they're doing. No one can. It's your choice to believe in them or not. But I will tell you this, that chilling goosebump vibrating sensation that ran through all of our bodies at the time is not something to joke around about. It was a little more terrifying than chilling. I couldn't say no to this job, but I didn't know how exactly it would go either. Scarlet, Frankie, and Jagger and I stayed in Scotland for about a week after this was done. We stayed at the castle, and we had no interest in doing what the group was doing, but we stayed there trying to be a small buffer in case anything happened. But let's be realistic. There was not much we could do against the vampires. They are what they are. Just hope in your lifetime you don't meet a real one. Although you just might meet one of their impersonators that they can't stand. Don't mess with the real ones, though, guys, because believe me, a lot of times it just does not work out. I will never forget Rue and Ash. I will never forget that castle. It had an impact on all of us. Scarlett was a target. This was an enemy Jagger thought he would never face. And I think Frankie's still out for something there. But like all things, just because we live in today, we cannot forget our past, our history of it all. We cannot forget things that happened before us. We cannot forget or acknowledge the things above and beyond our world. It's just not realistic, if you think about it. I always want to remind you guys of that because I know who's listening. You guys are the ones. Heighten your awareness. Be open and willing to believe. Well, thank you so much for listening and taking the time to spend with this job. I hope you enjoyed the vlog. Like always, give it a like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications if that's your thing so that you know when I post next. And I will talk to you all soon.